May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Today, I'm preaching on the second of the four sermons in the series on a mission-shaped church. For the purpose of defining a mission-shaped church, I'm going to contrast it against a maintenance-shaped church. A maintenance-shaped church is inward-looking, resists which it sees as unnecessary change, and exists for its members in the same way that a sports club exists for its members. It doesn't normally recruit as such, but it welcomes new members. A mission-shaped church is outward-looking, embraces necessary change to stay relevant to the community it serves. It actively tries to speak to as many non-Christians as possible to spread the gospel of Christ. In doing so, recruits more people, and as it expands, it is able to speak to even more people. The gospel reading chosen in support of a mission-shaped church is the one we've just heard, St. Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 49. This series of four subjects concerning mission are also being discussed at house groups, so perhaps this is the opportunity to see if you like the idea of going to a house group. Because now that we are on our second of four sermons, you know that you will only need to attend three meetings. If you don't belong to a house group and would like to try one, then please come to the church at 7:30 this coming Tuesday evening, where a house group is meeting for the duration of these four sermons. Our purpose as a church is knowing God for ourselves, growing as individuals and as a church, and showing God's love in the world. This definition can be found on the opening page of our website. And today I'm going to concentrate on the third expression of our purpose, namely showing God's love in the world. Because my sermon title is Becoming a Mission-Shaped Church. And it's only as a missionary church that we can reach out and show God's love in the world. Now, directly we talk about mission and missionary work, many people pull the shutters down because people think it's about going out and preaching the gospel or answering difficult questions about some obscure passage in the Bible. But as we have seen from our third mission statement, it isn't about that. It's about showing God's love in the world. But to be a mission-shaped church, we need to be outward-looking rather than inward-looking, because mission means going out into the world and encouraging people who do not know about the healing and saving grace of God through repentance and God's forgiveness to come to church and hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. However, we mustn't lose sight of the fact that to show God's love in the world, we must know what God's love is. And the first verse of our reading from Luke's gospel tells us that the Bible contains his words. The actual verse reads, "Then he said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you.'" And of course, the words Jesus spoke to them and which speaks to us are those recorded in the New Testament. I recently read a tribute for the Queen's 90th birthday, and near the beginning of the book were these words: "For Christians, the Bible is the most valuable thing on earth. because it's God's message to all mankind. It shows us what God is like. It reveals his love and commitment to us, what his Son has done for us, and how we can know and enjoy him, and how we can live and love in his ways. But in reading the New Testament, we mustn't lose sight of the Old Testament, because Jesus goes on to say that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. In other words, the Old Testament also contains descriptions of the true nature of God. It is the words of the New and Old Testament which gives us a clear insight to what it means when we refer to God's love. There is, of course, no shortcut to knowing the love of God. We do not have to be able to recite the Bible off by heart, but we must know what it means when we say showing God's love in the world. We will only understand what God's love actually means by faithfully reading the Bible and having things we do not understand explained to us. And the exposition of the Bible comes within church services and these days also in house groups. And that brings us to another aspect of our reading from Luke's Gospel, and that is verse 45. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. In John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 21, is recorded Jesus' first visit to the upper room when Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Jesus opened their minds to the scriptures through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as baptized Christians, our minds too have been opened to the scriptures by the power of the Holy Spirit. But to make use of that knowledge and to be able to go out into the world in God's love, we will undoubtedly need faith. We cannot go out and tell people the good news of Christ and have doubts ourselves. People will see through us very quickly. One of the differences between a maintenance church and a mission church may well be that in the maintenance church, they've lost sight of the need to go out to the community and talk about God's love. Whereas in a mission-shaped church, people are more outward-going and do go out into the community and talk about the good news of Christ. But like most churches, I'm sure, we at St. Michael's are both a maintenance church and a mission church, because there are those who do go out into the world and talk about their faith. From my personal experience, when we ran the Alpha courses here at St. Michael's, some 150 or more people attended the courses, and about 50 people from our church were involved at some stage with running them, and today there are some people running START courses and confirmation courses. Running courses such as these is an example of mission work. No one has to do this work on their own. When Jesus sent his disciples out to do mission work, he sent them out in pairs. It is always much better to work in teams than on your own. A healthy church may well need to be both a mission-shaped church and to some extent a maintenance-based church that faithfully preaches and demonstrates the complete gospel of Christ to its members. But nevertheless, mission should undoubtedly dominate and take most of our resources. The reason for these four series of sermons is that St. Michael's may well have the wrong balance and needs to be more outward-looking and do much more missionary work, because it is in mission that we are in obedience to God's command, and it is in mission that we will grow rather than shrink, which is possibly what is happening to us at the moment. At verse 46, Jesus said to his disciples, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations." And this same command also finishes St. Matthew's Gospel. There is no doubt whatsoever that as disciples of Christ, which is what we are, we have been given clear instructions to go out into the world and tell people about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ the Messiah, and that through repentance, Christ will forgive our sins. Let me quote again from the tribute written to celebrate the Queen's 90th birthday. This quote is from the Queen's 2011 Christmas speech. It is headed "Forgiveness." Forgiveness lies at the heart of the Christian faith. It can heal broken families. It can restore friendships. It can reconcile divided communities. It can restore it is in forgiveness that we feel the power of God's love. And my postscript to that would be for a mission-shaped church, that it is in forgiving that we show a significant part of God's love in the world. Moving on to verse 48 of our reading. "You are witnesses of these things." For us, it is through faith that we are witnesses to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it is through faith that we are to speak about what we know to be true. It will be through faith that we will become true disciples of Christ and show God's love in the world. So let us all take courage and step out in faith and tell our families, our friends, and our neighbours of the great joy, fellowship, and love we receive and give through having a relationship with God and with Christ, who through his death and resurrection forgives our sins and frees us from the pain of guilt, and releases us into a creative future, free from the burdens of sin. As we sit, let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you have brought us to know and recognize you through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for those who shared the gospel of Jesus with us. We ask that in turn we may pass the good news on to others. Give us confidence to speak of you, sensitivity to walk with others on their journey, and love to inspire us to reach out to others. Most of all, give us a passion to see your kingdom come, that we might take risky steps to be your witnesses to your world. We ask this through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.